Welcome to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Buster Swoops and Michael Campbell. This week in preparation for Sabbath, March 16th, we look at Lesson 11, Longing for God in Zion. Join us as we seek the ultimate glory in the Book of Psalms.
The Sabbath School Rescue Podcast is hosted by Michael Campbell and Buster Swoops at the Adventist Learning Community. Together, we love learning and have 18 years of pastoral experience. And now we have the privilege to dig deeper into the study.
All right, Lesson 11, Michael. This is Longing for God in Zion. And the psalm that we're reading for our memory text is Psalm 84, verse 2. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Beautiful imagery there, right? My soul longs. And I'll get into that a little bit later because we don't really like using that word because of theological implications. But there's something about the soul longing of the connection with God of at our very center of our core, of our every fiber of our being crying out. And that's what the psalmist is trying to bring out here.
Absolutely. And I think this is important to remember, you know, and God created us as relational beings and to be in relationship with him. And when there's people in our lives that we care about, we want to be with them. We have that longing, you know, to be in relationship and connection with others, and most of all with God. And that's what this lesson's talking about. And it kind of dives in, segues nicely into Psalm 84.
Yes.
That talks about this, a day in your courts is better than 1,000, right? So,
yes,
you know, I'd rather, you know, it's kind of like it's quality is better than quantity. And so I'd rather have some quality time with somebody than rather have just a lot of time with that particular individual. And Psalm 84 talks about this kind of qualitative aspect of our relationship with God. And verse 1, it just starts out, it says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. And in fact, building what just said, my soul yearns, it even faints for the courts of the Lord. There's something we really like and appreciate. There's people that we value. We want to be with them. We want to spend time with them. There's just nice places that are just beautiful spaces that we like to be in. I'll just give you an example, because just recently, Buster, my wife, has been working on her dissertation, and I've been working on some research projects as well. So we've been going to the Library of Congress.
Ooh.
And just, if anyone's ever been there, you've been on a tour, you just get one of those reader cards and go into the main reading room. Huge space, so beautiful, beautiful dome, all this beautiful artistry that's all around you. And when you're there, it just leads you to want to be in a space of careful reflection. I just love to be there. I love to go there and spend time. And it's amazing. And I think that's what it's talking about. There's just certain spaces. It's like, wow, when I'm there, it just is very conducive to want to be in a very reflective mood and to want to write and those kinds of things. And I think the same thing's true of the sanctuary. This is where, and what's the sanctuary? All it is, it's God's house. It's God's space where he just wants to be. By the way, I noticed that next to the Library of Congress, there is a house for sale. And I was like, oh, man, Buster. Oh, man.
I saw that.
I dream house. So like, you know, now in my little prayerless, Lord, by your grace, I get to heaven. Please put me by the heavenly archives. All right. The heavenly library. So that's where I want my mansion in glory. But, you know, there's certain places just beautiful. And some people are like, why would you? Well, yeah, one of the greatest libraries, two of the greatest libraries of the world right there. I mean, of course, there's just certain spaces we want to be and we long for this historian heart. That gets me kind of excited, right? But God wants us to be excited to be in his presence, to be with him. Yes. And in fact, not only are we blessed, but other people are blessed as well. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And of course, I love that word pilgrimage. You know, Buster, we do another podcast with on Adventist history called Adventist pilgrimage and this idea of reflecting where God has led in the past. And this is a very biblical idea, biblical term. And here it talks about going from strength to strength. We see what God has done. It encourages us to move on, to keep on going. That's what gives us strength. Right now I'm working on a project on mission history, mission stories, a devotional on mission stories. And this is really fun because one of my favorite mission stories is that of Leo Halliwell. Leo and Jesse, they were in the Amazon. They had the Luzero, which is the boat meaning the light. And they tell in their autobiography how they would get discouraged, just really get discouraged. And those moments of discouragement, they would remember they're headed to a better place. And they remember the promise of the Great Commission, Matthew. You know, the Great Commission, go ye. And that would give them courage to keep on going. And so remember where we're going. It gives us strength. That's what it's talking about, from strength to strength. So I think of the Halliwells, the Luzero, you know, that promise, and cling to that promise. And then in asking for God's protection at times, there are really, really challenging things. One of my favorite mission stories now, I think, is one that they tell in their, again, it's in their autobiography, how they were going through this Amazon, very treacherous part of the river, and they see somebody that's waving a flag, flagging them down, and then that person, and they didn't always, it actually would try to avoid doing that, and they want to, you know, get like, you know, someone, it could be like a trap or something, right? But they felt impressed to stop this time. They let this guy on, and he knew the river and guided them through all the rough patches until they got through the dangerous part of the river, got to the other side, says, you can let me off here now. And they drop him off the side of the river there. And then they look for him to thank him, and he's gone. And he writes about how this had to have been, they felt that was their guardian angel. God had intervened. And that's what it's talking about. Look on our shield, look with favor, you know, on your anointed one, you know, that sometimes we need that protection. Sometimes we don't even know we need that protection. And God looks out for us and protects. And in this case, they didn't know they needed it, right? They knew that river, they thought they were fine. And here God used this individual or this angel, who knows, to be able to work. In verse 10 is this promise that we started out with at the beginning. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. In other words, the smallest place in the kingdom of God is better than the most fabulous aspect of this wicked world below. You know, you can make somebody a king if you would, you know.
Yes.
But good. That doesn't even begin to compare with how good God's people have it in the kingdom of heaven. Just let me in those pearly gates. Let me be a doorkeeper. You know, the lowest, whatever that is. And like this at the end, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, but the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And so remembering what a great God we have. He's not trying, even if we're suffering hell, even if we don't see the end and how it's going to work out, God promises, hey, I'm not holding back on you. I want to bless you. I want all those good things that you want. So Lord, I want that house by the heavenly archive. I can't afford the one by the Library of Congress, but I'd like one on the street nearest the heavenly library, whatever that is, the heavenly archives. And then verse 4, Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. It truly is good to be in the house of God. So not only is it good to be in the house of God, but we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Wow, that sounds a bit of a challenging thought at the moment. We have a lot going on in Jerusalem. And yet here is a very interesting concept, a biblical concept going. And I'd like to know what that is, Buster.
Yeah, so Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9, is mainly talking about the pilgrimages. Michael, you talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
And they were joyful occasions for God's people. And basically, during these times, it's a time for them to come together and express the goodness of God and journey with one another to come together. And looking at there, Psalms 122, it's not long at all, so I'm going to read it in our hearing. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For the thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Now, this is the meat of it. Listen to this, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your places. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. We see here a beautiful prayer, a beautiful blessing. And imagine if we left this blessing upon all the places we went. Imagine this prayer for Jerusalem as we prayed for our churches, we prayed for our pastors, as we pray for our workplaces, peace that would befall there, especially those of the household of faith. And ask this question, what are practical ways that we can strive for harmony among us as a people now? And this is very timely because we're praying for a ceasefire in the Middle East right now. But Michael, it seems like it's so far away. And yet I think in some of our denominations and some of our families and some of our relationships, we're praying for ceasefires as well, where there's war and envy and strifes and everything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. And we who are connected with God, those of us who have a relationship with him, I imagine if we went around asking for peace, seeking it and living lives of peace rather than tearing each other down. Mm-hmm. Politically, we're coming into a part where we're going to be voting here. Some of us have already voted where there's wars and rumors of wars, where there's tearing down one another rather than building up. Imagine if we use the time to say, I see your differing of views, and I still care for you as a brother, as a sister in Christ. And I will continue to lift you up in prayer and continue to ask for peace and allow us to be unified without being in uniformity.
Yeah.
And that's so important. And I'm praying for that peace to come upon so many aspects in different ways of our lives. Michael, take us to Zion, the home of all nations.
Yeah, you know, it's just reminding me, you know, and I know there's a lot of politics and everything else, so this is not a political statement, but because God values life and it's tragic what's happened in the Middle East and Israel and the Palestinians, but God calls us to pray for peace, you know, and pray for all of those involved. It's difficult when we see those things happening, but you know, we think of what's happening and throughout history, a lot of people have looked to Zion, you know, what's going to happen in Zion. It's been a focal point. And we know that at looking for Christ to return, that really what we're looking for is more than just the physical Zion or what's happening in Israel, but there's a new Jerusalem that's coming, a new Zion. And Psalm 87 is talking about this. And it's very interesting here. Because why does it matter? Why is it such a special place? Well, it says here right in the beginning, he's founded his city on the holy mount. It's a holy place. It's a holy space, we could even say. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob, or we would say Israel, right? So there's something special about when God's people come together. That's what makes Zion such an incredible place. And because you think about this, the gates, that's just the perimeter, that's the outside, that's what guards and allows people access to come in or to go out. And then it's most intriguing what the rest of the psalm is talking about. It says, glorious things are said of you in the city of God. And then there's a list here. I'll record Rahab. You remember Rahab? She's the one that saved the spies, you know?
Yes.
But she was not an Israelite. And then Babylon and Philistia and Tyre and Cush. And say, this one was born in Zion. In other words, there's people from all these different other places, not just the children of Israel themselves, but all these other people who experience the blessing of God's people and the blessing of salvation that is brought about through God's people, through Jesus, the Messiah that will come and through which all nations will be blessed. And then it says, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. In other words, God sees all these other people who are saved, and he sees them as his own people as well.
Amen.
He sees them as part of that. And then finally, this blessing, this one was born in Zion. So Buster, you know, our theological pedigree, our ancestry, all of those things, they don't really matter to God. God will take anyone and everyone if they will surrender themselves to God. Verse 7, they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. Because in ancient Near East, what was mattered the most? Water. Water was life. It's what brought abundance and crops and the possibility of harvest. And so the source of all things, of life itself, of water and the fountains, is God. And it's a beautiful, beautiful way in which other nations, everyone here on earth, all humanity, has the possibility of being saved and being a part of God's people. And I'm talking about a city in the ancient Near East. A city is a place, you know, that we're talking about the gates, right? The walls. There's a reason they have those. It talks about safety and peace, the safety and peace of Zion. What's happening here, Buster?
Yeah. So Wednesday's lesson, Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11, as the main portion here. And it's one of my favorite psalms, actually, Michael. I love the very first portion of this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. It talks about, I'm going to end here, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, a holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. How beautiful is that? And it goes all the way down to verse 10, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And it asks us, how is the world poetically depicted here? You see this chaos, this mist of chaos. There is God. And it's telling us to rely upon him because he is the one who actually is our strength. And he is the one who is actually going to bring us through. And so we're asking him to come, and as we're looking at these marvelous works and these marvelous things that are happening, we're also learning more and more to rely on him on a daily basis prayerfully. But it also asks us this question as well: how do we learn to have peace and trust God amid a world that indeed has so much turmoil? Man, that's a rich and deep question, but it's through experience. It's not through religion only. I love religion, but it's through spirituality. It's through the actual practice of following God. It's through the connecting with him. It's learning that you can trust. How do you learn that you can trust someone? As you're a kid and you're a baby and you're trying to learn how to walk for the first time, and every time your father walks past you, he pushes you down, you're going to say, oh, I can't trust this person. But every time that you fall down and your father is there, or your mother is there to pick you up, you learn over time, I can trust this person. Well, it's the same thing in relationship with God. Every time we fall, or every time we falter, every time we do well, he is there to congratulate us, to correct us, to be with us. But he does it in love. But we learn that through, once again, experiential living with God and relational living. And so I challenge our congregation, our audience, if you will, to please that, and to continue that, to remember there is safety and peace in Zion as we walk with God. So Michael, finish us here with telling us how to be immovable like Mount Zion.
Absolutely. And I love this from having pastored and lived in Colorado for a while. You know, I love the mountains, especially the Rocky Mountains. And this is what I think of when I think of this. And it says, those who trust in the Lord, this is Psalm 125, are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. So you can think of whatever mountains you want, Canadian Rockies. You know, anyone that's been to Jerusalem, you can see the mountains that are surrounding Jerusalem. It provides stability. You see, and by the way, when you're at the top of those mountains, man, can you ever see the view from there? You know, we get down these little valleys, we just can't see as far as we think we can. Get up high, suddenly our perspective changes. And boy, you think how heavy those mountains are, all those huge rocks. I mean, just, it's incredible. It's incredible. So profound. It's overwhelming. And by the way, the righteous are tempted, verses 3-5. It's a very short psalm here. And the righteous are tempted to use their hands to do evil. You know, it's like, oh, you know, maybe that person, you know. And so when the right are tempted, and then we have this prayer, Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. In other words, Don't go down slinging mud. Don't descend. Take the high road. That's what God's asking his people to do. Take the high road. Do the right thing because it's the right thing. Do good to those who are good. Focus on those who are doing good. And those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with evildoers. In other words, you know, you don't want to become like them. Don't become like the evil ones. And then finally, this prayer, peace be on Israel. That's talking about God's people. Peace. Let's pray for peace, for good things to happen upon our fellow believers, upon God's people. Let's pray for God's blessing upon those, even those that may challenge us. We may not always get along with, may not always see eye to eye, or perhaps we don't even like, but we can still pray for God's peace to be upon them, God's blessing to be upon them. That's a good attitude, I think, to have, a good posture for us to remember that, you know, whatever people may do, and by the way, you know, you work in the church and live in community, we see our shortcomings of those around us. And if we're really honest, we might even see our own personal shortcomings too, but let's have a posture of peace, a posture of kindness, take the high road. And once again, I love this, do good to those who are good, you know, see where good's happening, see where God's working, see where God's hand is at work, and join forces with that in helping to bring more good about in the world around us. And we need that. We need that. We need that peace. We need that goodness bestowed upon others.
Man, we really do. And it's a beautiful thing that you just brought that all together, because without one another, we are the full view of who Christ died for. It's not just us as individuals, but he died for us, all of us. And so thanks for bringing that out, Michael.
Yeah, and by the way, it's the Song of Ascents. This is one of the psalms that God's people would sing on the way to Jerusalem when they're on their way to worship together in community. So it's a good attitude to remember when we're going to church the next time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is why we long for God in Zion. We see God's hand at work. We long to be with him. We long to be in community with others. So it's a great lesson. Once again, reminders. We're just kind of hitting highlights through the book of Psalms. Great. Sabbath School Quarterly. Hard to believe we're almost to the end of this lesson. You know,
I know, it's crazy.
Well, you've been listening to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast. And until next week, this is your host, Soup.
And Swoops.
Signing out. As we wrap up, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, the Adventist Learning Community, a ministry of the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists.
You can join us each week by subscribing on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Also, make sure you share with as many people as possible. And be sure to give us feedback by rating our podcast, and go to our website, sabbathschoolrescue.org, for each weekly episode.